Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a fantastic show for you tonight. And I know I usually say that a lot, and sometimes it's not so fantastic. But tonight, I think you will agree, I have two guests visiting with me this evening. The first, Matt Foreman, out of the great state of Texas. His company is The Local Circuit, a good friend of mine. We do some events together with SolarWinds and travel the country doing things. But our next guest, the luckiest mofo in the land, Jason Miller with Unbound Digital out of the great state of Tennessee. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing? Don't give me the thumbs up. This is an audio podcast.
You want us to talk? Oh gosh, yeah,
doing great. Just waving. I'm just gonna wave.
yeah. We're not doing the Facebook, YouTube video thing. This is audio only tonight. So, gentlemen, thank you for coming out and hanging in, doing the show. So, the working title of this show is called "Dropping the Weight." So I tried to do like a double entendre there. You know why?
Why?
You, Mr. yes, Mr. Marathon Man, Mr. What do you call your little circuit training there?
It's F3. It's a boot camp style workout. Yeah.
Boot camp style workout. All right. So dropping the weight. Now here's the question. Are you at the point where you're maintaining, or are you still working towards a goal?
I've been doing this for probably close to 2 years. January will be 2 years. Okay. So been doing this for a while. Started off Planet Fitness, just doing that stuff, joined F3. And I was working toward a goal, lost 50 pounds. So quite a bit of weight, and then joined F3, gained a lot of muscle. So I'm back up a little bit, probably about 10 pounds on weight and on muscle. Just kind of maintaining right now. So,
all right. And Matt, what have you been doing, my friend? I think it's actually been a couple of weeks since we chatted last. No, we had a little video thing last week, didn't we?
Yeah, just brief one, little one. Just work, man. We're still neck deep in the Windows 10 upgrades that for some reason all of my clients wanted to procrastinate to the last quarter of the year. So that's pretty much what we're trying to keep our head above water doing. So
yeah, I have about a couple of hundred to do, and one client, they're not even going to start theirs until 2020.
Nope.
Wow.
So no, I went ahead. I mean, everybody knows that it's the cutoff date's in January, but I've told everybody it's got to be done by the end of the year. I'm not gonna wait. So we're moving forward with it. Well, we've got a lot of government contracts, and they couldn't do anything until their new fiscal year started, which was yesterday. So that turned into a nice little October already. So,
well, I'm kind of glad this customer's waiting because they have 39. So that'll give me time to finish everybody else, and then I can take care of theirs in the first quarter of 2020. So that's a lot of stations to do.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you know, save all my data.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, gentlemen, we have a topic that has come up in the Facebook groups. And I thought I would get the two of you together because, Matt, it's been over a year now that you decided to drop your residential clients and go all MSP, switch offices, all of that stuff. Is that the right time frame?
We are just shy of a year. So we officially started it, I guess, December 1st of last year.
Okay.
And then kind of drug our feet a little bit on it. So, I mean, it So, yeah, I mean, it just a little shy of a year.
All right. And Jason, just recently you had actually put out a request to the community on how to drop your residential clients. And so I guess I said, let me get these two together and let's have a conversation and see where you both are. And I guess the first thing is, Jason, how far into that process are you?
Well, we talked about it for 2 years and just never did it.
Okay.
So we had two guys that were dedicated in shop techs. We had an admin that helped out at the front and checking in computers, talking to customers. And she half works on computers anyways herself. So does a lot of work on that. And she repairs computers quite often for us, even though she's just our admin. She has been with us 5 years and kind of jumps in there. So they've kind of run the whole front of our business there, and I've kind of maintained the back and as far as the business side. But we've went back and forth several times. Finally, just said we took on like 6 new clients. One was the large contract that I talked about in the last episode I was on. And it's just like, I need more techs. And we're kind of on that teeter totter point of, I've got 2 techs up front that I can bring to the back. They're really knowledgeable. So do I bring them to the back, or do I keep the residential and keep the hire more techs for the field technicians or engineers? So it's kind of at that point. And then when we took on this large contract, it's kind of like, oh, yep, I made my decision. We're going to keep our techs, you know, bring the techs to the back. One went to help desk, one went to field engineer. And that's kind of where we started. So, but we did send out a notice to all of our customers. So.
All right. Did you have, or did you know the percentage of residential customers that you had versus your total customer base?
Yeah, we're roughly about 10% residential. And that number used to be, you know, 100% when I started. And then it kind of dwindled down over the years. But we worked on anywhere 100, 150 computers a month in our in shop, typically here lately. Used to be upwards of 200. And then over the past couple of years, it's kind of went down a little bit, I guess, with all the harder to repair computers and stuff like that. Things glued together, fused. But yeah, so we've kind of, you know, we had to seek out some advice on Facebook, of course, you know, all the groups, see how people did this, because we did it really quickly. So
now, was most of your residential walk-in? Because you've actually got a nice little store there, big storefront. How much of it was walk-in versus any type of other service that you provided?
Yeah, I mean, we had a whole lot of walk-in. I mean, it was not uncommon to have 10 or 15 people come in the shop, you know, in a day and drop off computers and stuff like that. But we didn't really fix them at the front counter or anything. We just checked them in and let our guys get to them. But, you know, our two techs would have humongous workbenches. They're about a 12 by 10 workbench in a big U-shape, each of them. And they would work on anywhere from, you know, 8 to 10 computers at a time. You know, sometimes gaming rigs tore apart on one side of the bench, you know, cut down on a few, but yeah, it was, they kept it going. So,
all right. Now, Matt, when you decided to make your change, what do you think the mix was for you in terms of residential versus everything else?
I don't really know. I knew the percentage at the time. You know, forgive me. I don't know the percent. I don't remember what it was.
You're just blocking that out of your mind, aren't you?
Yeah, it's gone. We never did residential. I was just talking about. I don't remember the percentage. I do know. I mean, it was still 6 figures worth of sales when we cut it off. Easy. I don't remember what the percentage was. So that's one of the things that, maybe drag my feet on it. I mean, from a business standpoint, 6 figures is 6 figures. And, but swallowing that pill of lowering your gross and increasing your net in one move is a hard pill to swallow and doesn't make sense a lot of times in your head, but, it's happened, and that's kind of what's going on.
All right. So let's go back to, what was it that prompted you to make that decision?
For us, it was mailbox money. That's what I call it.
Mailbox money.
Mailbox
That's
money.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Our paychecks show up in the mail, and we don't have to leave the doors unlocked. And, you know, the MMR that everybody's after, And then, you know, it just got to where I saw, in my opinion, I think the break fix business is going away. I mean, it's not going to be tomorrow, but it'll be a few years down the road. But I mean, like he said, things are getting fused together. They're getting harder to repair. The machines are getting cheaper. You know, when you're charging $140, $150 to do a virus removal on somebody's machine that they bought at $300 at Walmart, I mean, how long before that $300 machine's $150 and they can just go buy a new machine quicker than and cheaper than what you would charge to fix it? So, and the day is coming. I mean, it's just the way technology is. But so just looking forward, I just thought that business support, the service end of it is what's going to be more profitable. And it's what I enjoy doing as an entrepreneur, as a business owner. I like that aspect. I like helping other businesses and just enjoy that aspect over helping grandma open Facebook or, you know, that type of thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that for anybody doing it. That's just not my cup of tea.
Right. Now, were you the only shop in town, or how many competitors did you have? What's the, you know, general dynamic of your area?
My town has seen its share of break fix stores come and go. When I made the decision, I know of one other guy that kind of worked out of his house. Another MSP that's in town, who's really my biggest competitor, had done the same thing and dropped their break fix, year before. So there was really, and then we've got, you know, the Geek Squad and the Office Depot and, that type of thing. So, there wasn't a whole lot of competition as far as stores. We were pretty much it, which was another big thing for me. It was like, if I close down, where's everybody going to go?
Right.
You know, so finding a solution for my clients, which was important for us, where can I, you know, hand them over to, and more importantly, can I find somebody that I can trust to do that? And then what to do with everybody else who is going to be blowing up our phone, you know, for the next couple of years as we make this transition.
Right.
So not a whole lot of competition, but there it was there. And then we're dealing with, I kind of consider it a, you know, a unique situation because our town has two universities and a junior college. So not necessarily even just people that live there, but we've got, at one university, 40,000 kids that come to town. And the other one has about 15,000. So every year we've got an influx of new students. And let me tell you, the virus removal business on those guys is incredible.
I was going to say, that's you know, gold right there.
Yeah. And that's another part. I mean, it's like, how easy for me to pay one guy to sit here and do virus removals all day long? We just rake it in. But, you know, with that came the overhead of the shop and having to have extra hands and that kind of thing. So I mean, it was just, it, you know, after I ripped the Band-Aid off, so to speak, it was, I've been happy, been real happy. Transition's been complex, but paired with the year and all the changeovers with the 10 project and whatnot, we haven't really grown a whole lot this year. Just, I haven't really focused on it. I've been so busy managing the transition that we've picked up some new clients, but, my schedule from kind of way to see it come 2020, I'll have everything done and be able to start focusing on that end of it.
Right. So, all right. And Jason, you were actually even more, in a sense, the only game in town. I think you said there was only one other real competitor to you, excluding Office Depot and Geek Squad.
Yeah. So in our town, it was basically us and it was one other guy that was residential only because we did residential and MSP. And it was the other guy, and he was, you know, of course, a smaller shop, did a fraction of what we did as far as computer repair and stuff. And of course, we've been doing this for 19 years. So we had a really good following. We, you know, we bend over backwards to make sure everybody's happy, awesome reviews. So, I mean, we had a really good name for ourselves. So we did a lot of residential work. And, you know, when we come time to cut it off, I got all kinds of phone calls from customers, not very happy with us, but, But being the only company in town, that kind of weighed on us as well, too, because that's probably what really played into, you know, us extending it a couple of years, is just for the simple fact of, well, we're making good money. I've got a couple of guys up front. You know, in my mind, I was like, hey, what harm does it hurt to have, you know, a couple of guys up front? Like, you know, Matt said there, just do virus removals, pay them to do that and, you know, do the stuff. But with that comes a lot of headaches. And we started realizing more and more as we got really busy in the backside of, you know, all the field technicians and help desk and all that stuff going on. It's become more of a headache because my time is valuable. And being the owner and the boss, you know, if something goes wrong, I have to step up front, handle a situation, make phone calls back. It become a really, really nuisance, you know, sometimes. And then you have those customers. It's like, oh, I've been doing business with you 20 years. Hey, I want to see him, you know, and stuff like that. So it's like, man, I've got like 500 things to do. I don't need to come up front and talk to somebody. You know, I'm a very customer service focused guy. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, sometimes you get two or three of those in a day that just want to say hi. It becomes a distraction, deterrent, you know, from what you're actually trying to get accomplished. And then, you know, of course, we did a good job keeping people happy, but inevitably you always make somebody mad for some crazy reason. So then you'd have to deal with that.
So. Right. So let's talk about the process. So in terms of, you know, you get to the point where you know you've got to make the decision, you figure out, okay, we got to do it. What is the process like in terms of once you decide to do that and you've got to make that shift? Both of you talked about, you know, having to deal with the fact that customers have been coming to you for a long time. They're used to you being their service center or whatever they see you as. How did you guys do that transition in terms of letting customers know, one, we're not going to be servicing you anymore, and two, what did you do going forward?
As far as us, yeah, I mean, telling people, yeah, we got mixed reactions to the elderly, the older people. One guy, he called crying just because he's like, I'm old and it took me so long to find, I'm going to be dead before I could find another computer guy I trust. I mean, just guilt. I mean, I don't know how you could do more heavy guilt trip than that. But, I mean, for us, it was, I mean, we use social media. Made the announcements there. We made the announcements on our blogs, on our website. And then we just picked a day. You know, I don't remember how far earlier in the summer it was or fall. I mean, here in Texas, it's just all summer. But we made a decision that, hey, we're going to, and it, for us, it kind of coincided with the lease on our shop where we were too, actually played a big part of it. So our lease ran out. In the end of November last year. So I picked up our new office suite in October, and then we were able to say, okay, we're, you know, this was our cutoff date. We're not taking any more, drop-offs after this date, which gives us time to fix whatever comes in and get it back out. And after that, you know, we're not taking anything else. We made a deal with the guy I mentioned that works out of his house as a referral partner. We're just referring everybody to him. We get a commission off of it. So more mailbox money for us on a monthly basis. You know, we get X percent off of the hardware he sells on anybody we refer to him, and X percent off the service.
That's a sweet little deal. How'd you work that?
It was... You know, I contemplated, could I sell my business? Could I sell the residential? I didn't think it would be possible because I didn't want to give up my name because the business was going to continue. So I didn't really think, you know, I thought it would just get messy if I tried to sell, you know, here's a client list. I mean, there's no guarantees and all that. I just didn't want that headache. I mean, I did talk to one guy about, hey, we can extend the lease on the shop. People know where it's at. You can come here, you know, take over the residential, put, you know, we'll leave my name on the door for a little while and then we'll just swap it. And, you know, you've got a up and running computer tech shop with all the hardware and benches and everything you need. But it just didn't work out. But, and then got to talking with this other gentleman. And, you know, he's an entrepreneur himself. He enjoys working for himself. He has no interest in doing business support at all. He actually likes the residential side of things. We just kind of spoke a few times and came up with that arrangement, and it's been working well. So
was there ever a point, because you moved, so mm-hmm. did people, because I assume like residential, there are times where people may not see you for a year or two. So were there people that showed up at the store and saw that you weren't there?
And yeah, then, I mean, I imagine so.
they didn't call and
I
say,
wasn't
where,
there.
Where are you
so
at?
I
couldn't tell you. You didn't have a sign that we've moved or, you know.
Well, I did. It did not stay very long because my exit wasn't graceful with my landlord. Uh-oh. They tried to pull one on me, and we kind of got into it. So they took that sign down pretty quick. But, yeah, I mean, they did show up. I mean, our website showed our new address. I mean, on our website, it does the first thing you do. I hate pop-ups, but the first thing you do when it goes there is it pops a little thing up and says, you know, service, you know, notice we're no longer doing residential. You know, if you're doing residential, call this guy. Same with our phone system. When if you click on I need residential support, you get a message that says, hey, we're not doing it. Click this to be forwarded, and it automatically forwards them off to there. So I don't even talk to them anymore. Unless they just want to. We do still have the stragglers that show up at our other office. I have no idea how they have found us being new clients and they don't know that we don't do residential anymore. So, I mean, it's all over everything now, but they do, you know, we'll get one or two knock on our door and, you know, it's even more so now school's back in session. We get, you know, had some, I mean, I'm sure people have showed up over there. But they still find us.
All right. Now, Jason, a little different for you. You're still in the same place. People are going to show up. What happens?
Well, we kind of similar situation. The other guy that was in our town, that was the smaller guy. We, talked to him and was like, well, you know, Matt messaged me on Facebook and kind of told us a little bit of his story, and he handed off somebody else, and Sean Scott actually, you know, hooked me up with Matt here and stuff like that. So appreciate that. But it got me to thinking. I was like, well, I'll talk to him. And I know the guy really well because we traded back and forth on parts and, you know, things like that. And, you know, computers for sale, stuff like that. We always trade back and forth. He's always at my shop. I go to his shop, stuff like that. But anyways, I talked to him. I said, hey, man, I was like, I want to make it fair to you. I want to make it fair to me. I get a few bucks for, you know, my residential business. So instead of doing like a commission, because I wasn't sure. He didn't have a lot of systems in place. He's still doing paper, like little handwritten tickets, like you see at the paint shop with the duplicate.
So
I was like, okay, well, that's not going to work out well. And there's going to be no way to prove anything. So I was like, how about you just pay me X amount of dollars per month for our residential service for the next 3 years? And so we ended up doing that, signed some, you know, legal paperwork saying that he'd do that. And then basically the first, you know, we basically give our customers 30 days notice. So we told them, you know, the end of September we were done. And so it was really quick. But so the first week after we sent out that notice, you know, of course, I got phone calls and, you know, hey, you take it to this new guy. We're no longer doing this. And of course, a couple of people that went to him and got mad at him come to us. So they called me and it's like, I ain't ever taking it to that guy. It's all mad, you know, but of course, he does good work, you know, like any other shop, you make somebody mad. But either way, you know, I got a few of those, you know, you can't be doing this, some phone calls. And I got several that was like, I'm congratulations, happy for you, all this good stuff, you know, and got four or five of those and glad to see you growing, all that good stuff. And so then we just started taking our phone system. And the first week we had an influx of computers and I was like, we're already covered up. I can't take any more, you know? So I said to the end of September. So literally at the end of the first week, we sent out another email. It says, you know, thanks for all the support and everything you showed us, you know, we have basically filled up our whole queue for the next month, so we'll no longer be able to take anything at this time. And that was literally a week later. So, and at that point, we literally flipped, you know, our Freedom Voice phone system, a little plug there, but, we took our phone system. It said, press 1 for business, 2 for, you know, residential support. So, when they pressed 2, for the second week, it basically, you know, hey, that, had a message field transfer to him, press one, be able to, you know, if you want to talk to us still, press two. Found out that did not work. Don't do that. So literally I said, when you hit two for residential support, it literally rings straight to his phone at his office. You know, there's a few business people that call and for some reason they press residential support. And so he'll, you know, tell him to call us back or whatever. But we kind of solved that problem too, because he was getting so many phone calls and he's running this business off a cell phone. We sold him a Freedom Voice phone system. So now we got a reciprocal auto attendant. So when you call us, press two for residential, it goes to him. And then he's got an option there. I don't remember what option it is, but you press whatever option is for business support, it comes to us. So it kind of works out good because he doesn't want to touch business, doesn't want to do any of that stuff. So he just wants to be residential only. So, you know, since we both have good phone systems now, I don't have to talk to any of the customers and spend 45 minutes explaining the situation. We just send them straight to him. So,
all right. Now, your situation in terms of payment actually seems reasonable. Just pay us this much a month for 3 years. You're going to get this much business. However, you're not tracking anything. What if in month 26, he's like, I'm not getting any more referrals from you. Why am I still paying you? What happens then?
Yeah, not sure. I mean, we signed legal paperwork that says that he will pay me X amount of payments for 36 months. I mean, I guess I could always take in a quarter or something, but you know, I don't know. I mean, if it ends up not working out, it ends up not working out. To me, it wasn't the end of the world if I didn't get paid all the money, but I mean, I expect to be paid all the money right. And I'd probably get a lawyer involved if it didn't happen. Just to be straight up honest with you. But, you know, like I said, I was just trying, and it's a fraction of what, you know, he's a smaller guy, couldn't afford all the extra money I was going to charge him. And two, I wasn't sure how many customers are going to go there. So it's basically a fraction of what we were making a month, but it's, you know, extra pocket money and stuff. So
mailbox money.
Well, no, he actually brought cash to the office the other day for the first payment and handed hundreds, you know, Benjamins. So
it was, that's even better.
Dollar bills.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of nice. He's a cash type of guy. So he's always paying me in cash for everything. So he brought that to the office. And of course, my wife being an accountant, she makes nice receipts and sends, you know, got, you know, 35 more payments.
Okay. You know. Now, Matt, your deal sounds a little less, or let me say this, a little more complicated, because if you're dealing with a commission structure, how are you guys keeping track of that? I mean,
yeah, it was a trust point issue for me. And then I just basically said, you know, I'm doing it either way. I mean, I could just tell people that I'm not doing it and they can go find somebody else, or I can make this deal with him and tell people to go there and try to get a little mailbox money. You know, the guy had a good reputation. I knew the guy. I mean, I'd met him before. I didn't have any reason not to trust him. He basically set up his QuickBooks to set up somehow with like, I guess, a salesperson option in there. So if somebody came in and said, you know, when they filled out their check-in form, if they said they got the recommendation from us, that they put that in there. And then at the end of the month, he's able to run a report on all the invoices that and then gave me, if I wanted it, full access to his QuickBooks. But he just sent me the reports for me to verify. And then if I wanted to look at his QuickBooks, I could.
All right.
And that's the way we did it. This past month, he approached me and basically said, hey, you know, it's a pain to keep up with all this. Would you make me an offer to let you just buy me out for the rest of the year? And I said, sure. And we came to an agreement and he just wrote me a check that I thought was worth an average of what we would make the next few months. And so we did that to finish out this year. Anyway.
All right. Sounds like you both had good experiences there and very trusting, I might say. All right. So I guess looking back, is there anything that either of you would have done differently in making that transition?
Probably done it sooner.
Done it sooner, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's allowed us to, And like, I mean, we're only second month in, and with our ticketing system, our systems that we had in place, you know, we had our ticketing system set up and had it, you know, kind of, it wasn't made to do in shop and do, you know, the field technician work and stuff like that, field work. And so we basically were kind of rigging it a little bit. It caused a little more friction in making tickets and stuff like that, and a little bit more headache. But now that we're strictly business only, I was able to go in and streamline our ticketing system. It made life so much easier on things we do, because now we don't have to worry about messing something up on the residential side versus the, you know, business side of things. If you make this change in your ticket system to automate something, well, you can't automate that, because then in the residential side, we're not doing that. And it just kind of messes things up. So we're able to do more automation, kind of streamline the system, made all kinds of changes to make making tickets faster, resolving things, automations. I mean, it just helps so much. And that's kind of our focus now that we've gotten rid of the residential, is with our ticketing system, our SolarWinds. We're basically dialing everything in to be more efficient, more streamlined. So,
all right. And I know you started your business in 2000. Matt, I don't remember when you started yours. When did you start your business?
2006.
Okay. So you obviously have some people that have been around for a while as well, and got used to mm-hmm. you doing residential stuff. So interesting. So when I started my business, I got lucky. I did not have a whole lot of residential. So it was easy for me to not have to worry about that. So I just want to commend you guys, because I don't know, especially if you're doing 100,000 a year in residential, most techs in our industry would take that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, and that's, but at the same time, when you look at it as, okay, now I've downsized my shop. I don't have a shop anymore. So I don't have that expense. So mm-hmm. I don't have my tech and my admin that I had when I had a shop. I don't have the rent of the shop. I don't have the insane utilities of that crappy shop that I had. Everything that was really costing me money was the shop, for the most part. So that 100, K of sales, it disappeared really quick in salary. And, it was almost, in my opinion, there was profit in it. Yes. But I could easily pick up a handful more MSP clients and replace that easily and be much happier and be doing, much less stress and not have to be dealing with the public.
Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, I was just going to say, we picked up in those like six clients in 2 months, and that pretty much replaced our residential. So it just kind of made it easy transition, I have people on Facebook, I posted that. It's like, I was posting the amount of work and the amount of computers we're fixing and stuff like that. I didn't even post dollar amounts or anything. And one guy's like, "You're making that kind of money in residential. Why would you give that up?" and stuff. And he's like, kind of, yelling at me on Facebook for doing it. And I'm like sitting there thinking, it's like, oh, it's such a headache. So, nothing against anybody that's fixing residential, but when you've got both sides, it's kind of, after getting rid of it, you kind of see the benefits and the streamlining of it and stuff. I think sometimes you get so involved in having that residential business that it just becomes the norm. And then, now that we've separated ourselves from it, it's like so much more streamlined and so much flow. It flows so much better. The day to day is easier. We changed our business hours. We don't have our techs there to 6 o'clock anymore. Everybody leaves at 5 or 5:30, it makes it so much easier. So
now, Matt, you said that you got rid of your shop, but I assume you've still got some sort of office. You're not working out of your home, are you?
No, we have, I don't know if you'd call it, it's bigger than an executive suite, but it's just an office suite downtown. Just one giant, I'm a big fan of open spaces, especially in an office environment. I don't think even if we grow that I will segment myself off from the team. I like being involved in the business. I'd like being with the other people that are doing the work. So we've got one big office. It's one of those, you just pay your rent. I've got no other utilities, which is nice. And we're right downtown, kind of centered, got clients in all directions, but I like being downtown. I like the atmosphere of the town and whatnot. So,
okay. And what did you do with all your stuff? I assume at the shop, you probably had a ton of stuff, benches, big old, repair tools and Bunch of, yeah. Probably had buckets of screws laying around, right?
Mm-hmm. That's all went in temporarily to storage. And then, because like I said, we made that exit pretty quick. We took our desks. We took a couple of the benches. Now we still have a couple benches in our office. And then some shelving, and then all the, the electronics, printers, computers, right. That type of thing. All the rest of the stuff, man, I let the guy that we're referring stuff, I gave him a bunch of monitors, sold some benches. I do a scorched earth policy about once a quarter in our office. We go through it top to bottom, every shelf, every drawer. I don't like hoarding things. If it's not of use, I don't have a lot of space, it's gone. So we didn't have a whole lot. I mean, most of it was big stuff like furniture, the bucket of screws and things like that. We've still got them, and we still do work in our office. So we still have to have a bench and screwdrivers and some of it's gone into the truck that we bought here this year, for the office. We're slowly kind of building that into a mobile work, bench. We've got some tubs in the back, so we network cables and keyboards, mice, tools, parts, that kind of thing. So we don't have to load up and go every time. We just get in the truck and we've got everything we need every time.
Oh, a little mobile shop there.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. And Jason, I'm assuming, and I don't know because I've not been in your store. I probably should make a trip up there someday.
Yeah,
but exactly. I'm assuming you had like a little retail showroom where customers came in and saw stuff. Is that accurate? Or did you not have a whole lot of customer space that you had to reassign?
Well, our whole... we actually have two suites that's joined together and it's all completely open. There's no walls between them or anything. So it's made to be that way. So we have about 4,550 square feet of office space, and it's more professional office space. So when we moved in, we actually made a storefront. And so being, you've met Rachel, so it's very high end looking. So, I mean, we had, gray wooden floor, hardwood floors. We had white counter, or white checkout counters. White display shelves. It had a, blue accent wall because that's our colors, frosted glass with our logo. I mean, it's very high end. So that's what we strive to be. And we got so many comments on our showroom and stuff like that. And it's probably 800 square feet or something like that in our showroom. But, just being so high end, I've actually got, one managed service client off of them coming in and with their personal computer. And it just looks so professional, So then on the other side of the wall, we had a wall dividing that off. We had built when we moved in. We had two large work benches and a whole row of shelves for, check-ins, drop-offs, pickups, waiting on customers, stuff like that. So we had a whole group of shelves there. And pretty much if you saw our shop, most of it was from IKEA. We had when we moved in there, we had a tractor and trailer backup, and it was like 300 and some boxes of IKEA stuff. And the guy hired a labor ready guy from our local labor ready here to unload all the stuff. He's about to cuss us, I think, but, we had assemble furniture, for days, So yeah, I mean, we still have that retail shop. We repurposed some of the furniture in there. We've gotten rid of all the refurbished, desktops and laptops that we used to sell for residential clients. We've always stocked. We're a Dell partner, so we've always stocked, brand new Dell desktops and stuff like that that we sell to our business clients. Especially this year, we've been keeping five or six in stock at all times because we're installing about that many a week at least. So. And then we have all the white shelves on the wall full of, network switches, routers, gear, heat sinks, fans, video cards. I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, it's probably about a 16 foot of shelf, times about six levels of it. That's, all floating shelves mounted to the wall with all this stuff on it. So completely full of stuff. So the guy that we sold our business to, he's like, "You need to sell me some of that stuff. You're not going to use it anymore." I was like, "We haven't had time. We got a couple of trips we're taking." And then I told him, I was like, "Yeah, November, we'll get all that stuff together when we have time to slow down to go through it all." And in the back, we have a room we call our staging room for our business stuff. So we'll stage all of our projects and stuff. But we have part of that has some shelving back there for the laptop graveyard and totes with stuff in it for residential. So, getting rid of all that stuff.
Yeah, because I remember you had the nice displays and the stuff on the wall and the, you know, looked like a pretty nice fancy showroom. So
yeah, we got comments on it all the time. And then you know, I went to the other guy that's buying our stuff, or buying our shop, or residential business, not our shop, buying a residential business from us. You walk in his shop and it's like totally dark and dingy looking and computers everywhere. You know, it's like, you know, you're sitting there second guessing yourself. It's like, should I send him all this business? Our customers are going to walk in here and be like, what the heck is this place? You know, because, you know, typical computer shop, it's all junked up and everything. But, you know, we always kept a pristine high end look. Yeah.
All right. Now, Matt, you didn't get to answer the question that is there anything that you would have done differently?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I wouldn't have waited so long. I think I drove my feet for years. I knew this was the direction I wanted to go, I just didn't, I think the fear of giving up what I knew was working and whatnot kept me from doing it. I mean, because it's a big risk. I mean, letting go of, I mean, that profit that out of the shop when this is your only source of income and you're not guaranteed to get it back this year or even next year or, you know, it was a big risk, but I wish I would have done it sooner. I'm a lot happier. I mean, I know I will be even more happy once the full transition's kind of taken place. But I mean, you can already see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm not upset that we made the decision. I wish we would have started it sooner. I don't think there's anything else I could have done different. I mean, the process is what the process was, and
I can tell you that making decisions, if it is a hard decision, it can be daunting. Mm-hmm. And yes. I imagine that it's kind of similar to when I got ready to fire my biggest client at the time. Where was that money going to be replaced? That was a big, huge thing. And the wife was, you know, not necessarily happy that I was going to fire that client. But it has now been, gosh, it's been almost, this will be coming up on almost 2 years. And, you know, the gross isn't still as much as it was, but the net is still there.
Yeah.
And the happy level is much higher than it was.
And that's a big part of it. I mean, it was, you know, when I started the business, didn't have kids. Now I've got three. Didn't have as many hobbies, but now I'm older and wanting to do other things outside of work. And before it was, I didn't care how much I had to work or I enjoyed the work. I still enjoy work, and I'd probably work more than I need to. But it is, and that was a big part of the decision, was that happiness factor, the quality of life factor is much easier doing, I think, the MSP, the business side of things, because they're not open right now. And I'm sitting here talking to you, whereas I could have a shop, and, you know, might not necessarily be closed because it's not even 8 o'clock here. That quality of life factor, I think, plays a role. I mean, I know people like to make money and grow their business, but you get burnt out. You've got to have that balance in there somewhere, or you're going to regret it. I think that's kind of what started me down the path of, oh, I can go to work from, you know, 9 to 5, 9 to 6. Even though as a business owner, it's never going to be 9 to 6, but, you know, it cuts down a little bit more. I can go out of town now for a week and my guys can take care of everything and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about an angry client walking in the door screaming for something stupid, you know, that type of thing. I've got a trust factor with the way my business is now that I didn't have before. And, I think that makes me happy. So, doing it sooner was my thing.
All right. And speaking of getting out of town, Mr. Miller.
Yes.
I believe this Friday you're going to be scooting through Fort Lauderdale here, trying to evade me? Is that the what's happening?
Well, not trying to evade you. We're not flying. We're leaving work at 5 o'clock to drive an hour and a half away to get on an airplane. So we're going to Asheville, North Carolina to get on the airplane to fly to Fort Lauderdale. And we're spending the night there. So we probably won't get into like 11 o'clock at night. And then we're jumping on the cruise ship the next day. So, yeah. So let's see if we can fit some time in there and maybe in the morning or something like that. So.
All right. We'll have to talk off air about that and see how that goes. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you guys very much. I will go ahead and ask just one last time. Is there anything that I haven't asked that you think the audience would need to know about dropping the weight of residential clients?
Just go for it.
Go for it.
I think some people out there, the residential is the right fit for them. But I mean, you know, as a business grows and matures, I mean, you know, that growth and maturity may be still residential. But as far as, you know, the growth and maturity for our business, we went, you know, business side only. So, you know, make the right decision for yourself. It's always hard. Post on Facebook like I did. There you go.
No, I agree. I mean, I think, like I said earlier, I think residential is for the most part going to break fix, so to speak, is going to fade away eventually. I think it's a fit. I know people who are doing it and doing it a lot of it, mm-hmm. and being very successful at it. I think it's all due to, you know, location and population density and, you know, just several of those factors. I mean, I'm not, you know, people listen to this. I'm not trying to be a discouragement for people who are doing it by any means, but, I think you just need to do what makes you happy and what's going to be the best fit. And for us, it was this, and it's just allowing us to spend more time focusing on our clients and they really like that aspect of it. You know, when we killed everything off, it was, you know, they were happy about it. I don't have to, my time's not split between Susie walking in the door and the guy that sends me a, you know, $3,000 check every month. You know, that's a, you know, he likes that a lot more. So, you know, it's, you know, I'm not saying it's dead, but, you know, just do what you do and do what you do well and, just pick a direction and concentrate on it.
All right. And above all, be happy.
There you go.
That's what we got to say. All right, gentlemen, thank you again very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Matt Foreman, Local Circuit, and Jason Miller, Unbound Digital. Gentlemen, it has been a fantastic evening, and I hope you all continue to have a lovely 2019, end off the year strong, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another episode of Podnuts Pro. Be sure to head over to podnuts.com and check out all the great, wonderful shows that are over there. If you have any questions or suggestions, any successes or failures that you'd like to talk about, anything at all, just email me, marvin@podnuts.com. And be sure to check the show notes and support our sponsors and affiliates there. And if you buy things on Amazon, use my Amazon link to make your purchases. If you click on the link, the pricing that you get on Amazon is still the same, but a little bit of commission comes back to help put on these great, great shows. And we'll be back next week with another great show. But until then, holla.